I'll try to keep my throat wet, and the spirit that's bubbling up inside of me makes me want to be loud and go crazy, but I don't know if my voice will allow that. But obviously, we'll just see how long it lasts, and I'm excited about this message today because I try my best to do what I'm going to preach to you today. I fail at it, just like she said. Even though I fail him, he's such a friend. He picks me back up and things like that. But I know you're going to understand the illustration that I use here in just a second, because God's the one that made us, and he put this inside of us. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and of course, in the context here, this is a letter to Timothy, a young preacher, and Paul is the older preacher that's getting ready to go to heaven. And just like anybody maybe that's ready to go to heaven, they want to give those last-minute instructions, and they're trying to encourage, you know, keep on keeping on. There is a cause, and the Lord wants you to do this. And that's kind of Paul's attitude here in talking to Timothy. And he's like, you know, look, I'm fixing to go, but I'm trusting you to pick up my mantle or take the baton or keep on keeping on. And so he says in verse 4, it says here, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life." And so he's like, you know, Timothy, the devil's going to make sure that there's opportunities for you to get entangled. Not necessarily saying these things are bad things, but if they entangle you and slow you down and keep you from serving the Lord, there's a problem. But he said in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that," and here's the title of my sermon today, "that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So the title of the sermon today is Pleasing God. Pleasing God. And that should be all of our goals. Of course, this is two preachers talking. And, we would hope that the preacher, and I try my best, to have that mindset. Of course, we've all heard of WWJD, what would Jesus do? Maybe this will be another one of those type questions that we should ask ourselves before we think something, do something, participate in something. You know, what would Jesus do? Or would this please God or displease God? Again, that's what, you know, those of us grew up in a household where we had some discipline. That's what we were doing. Will this get me a spanking, or will this get me out of a spanking? Will this get me some restriction, or will this keep me from getting some restriction? So we were learning to make decisions and to choose the right one. Because just like we've all seen the commercials where the little demons on this shoulder and the little angels on this shoulder, and they're vying for our mind. Of course, we ought to choose the one that's the... Where did I put the angel a while ago? We ought to choose the angel, whichever one I put it on. I'm on medication, so I forget. Amen? And so if I say anything heresy today, please forgive me. But anyway, we ought to want to please God. And so the word please basically means to make someone happy or satisfied, to make a choice about what we're going to do that will bring pleasure to or to gratify. And so when we're deciding whether to say something, and a lot of us, including myself, would be wise in thinking before we speak. Insert mind before we, exert mouth and things like that. And we ought to want to please God in what we say, do, things like that. But we are all pleasers. God made us that way. And some of us are good self-pleasers. Whatever makes me happy, that's what I'm going to do. And if you get in my way, I'm mad at you. Why? Because I'm trying to please myself. And then there are some of us in here, I think all of us would probably fit in that category, self-pleasers. But then there are some people in here, what we call people-pleasers. In other words, there's people in here that cannot say no. If somebody said, "Can you help me with this?" Sure. "Can you help me with this?" Sure. And I mean, they are just killing themselves because they're trying to please everybody. And you might have heard the statement, you can't please everybody. Around holiday times, you're going to get this invitation from this relative. And you're going to get this invitation from this relative and this relative. And you're like, because somebody's going to be mad. If you go to this relative's house, they're going to be ticked. If you go to this relative's house, this person's going to be mad. So you're like, man, why? Because you want to please everybody. And I get myself in so much trouble this way. And my wife tells me all the time, you're not going to be able to please everybody. I'm going to try. I want them all to be happy. Again, that's we're people pleasers. And then we see the third one is here, God pleasers. So we're self pleasers. Some of us are people pleasers. Some of us could care less what other people think. Oh, well, whatever. That person's probably more of a self pleaser than a people pleaser. But you get what I'm saying. But then we ought to all want to be God pleasers. And I got a couple of verses here in the introduction before we start. We're going to basically look at everything here in chapter 2 for my points. But if I want to be, if I'm right with God and I want to please Him, I'm going to be pleased with myself. So the devil will tell you, you got to choose. You got to choose to either please yourself or please God. That's not true. That is a lie from the devil. You can please both. And I have a verse, Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. So if I try to please God, if I try to do what God would want me to do, then it says here, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So if I make God happy in turn, I'm going to be happy. Now the devil will tell you, like for instance, I saw some people this morning pulling their bass boat behind them on the way to the lake this morning instead of a church. And so they're pleasing themselves. I like to fish. But I want to please God more than I want to catch fish. And so that's why it was no problem. I was like, oh man, I wish I was going where. No, I'm glad I'm here. Because I want to please God. And I'm delighted in the fact that God's happy with what I'm doing today. And now, Monday or Tuesday, I might get a chance to go fishing. I might. All right. But on Sunday, I'm definitely not. And I could go on down my whole hobby list. I'm not going to be in a football stadium. I'm going to be in church. I'm not going to be in a deer stand. I'm going to be in church. Why? Because I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. And I'm going to be happy about that. Why? Because I know that pleases Him. And so forth. So if I please God, in turn, I'll be pleased. So if we please God, those people that matter will be happy with us. So if I please God, He's going to be happy and delighted, and I'm going to be happy and delighted. Then if I please God, those people that matter are going to be pleased. Listen to what Proverbs 16:7 says. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. So if I say, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, I'm going to do only that that pleases God, that makes God happy, therefore I'm delighted. Then anybody that matters, because if my ways please God, He maketh even his enemies be at peace with Him. And so we see that we're going to try to please and please and please and please. I used to tell my boys all the time, look, you just please God. Anybody else that'll matter will fall in line. Because if you make God happy, me and Mom will be happy. All right. Any leadership that you might have in your life, they're going to be happy. And then if it doesn't please everybody, oh well, because you're pleasing God. So the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh, God will make your enemies even be at peace. So what we delight in our ways, create what we call a testimony. Hebrews 11:5 and 6. It says here, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. So this person never passed away. He just got called up into heaven. It says here, and before his translation, in other words, before God took him up to heaven, it says here, he had a testimony that he pleased God. So we see, if we delight ourselves, God's going to be pleased. We'll be happy. If we please God, even our enemies will be at peace with us. And we'll have that testimony that, hey, they're going to do whatever pleases God. So I hope I have that testimony with my friends. They said, they know if they're going to ask me to do something that would be against the Bible. We already know the answer to this. Why? Because I have a testimony that I please God. Hey, would you skip church to go this with us? No. All right, because he has a testimony to please God. I have some relatives, just like all of you do. And they kind of rotate who's in charge of the family reunion. And the ones that could care less about God, could care less about church, they always plan everything on the weekend. And I have a testimony that they know I'm not going to be there. All right? Do I love them? Yes. All right, but I love God more. And I want to please Him more. Aunt Susie might just be upset with me. You didn't come to the family reunion again. Well, you had it on Sunday again. All right? I'll skip work to come if you have it on Monday. Or let's Friday and Saturday. The only two or three that I've went to over the years and years and years was when my dad was in charge of it. All right, and he had it at his house. Got a big old house, 60 acres. But everything, all the festivities was Friday and Saturday. Sunday said, church. Sunday night said, church. And they, well, if it's at the Stanley's house over there, and we're going to have, church is going to be involved. Durr. Hello, McFly. Come on. They know. We had the testimony
that we're going to please God. So we see, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will be pleased with you. He will make even your enemies be at peace with you, and you'll have a testimony that, hey, he's just going to do what pleases God. Verse 6 says this in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So we got to live in faith to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Say, God, I'm going to diligently seek to please you with my entire being, and I'm going to put my faith in it. So we see in the introduction, delight in him. Let your ways please him. Have a testimony that you're going to please him, and live by faith, and all these things are important in pleasing God. Jesus, the Bible says that he is our example. So he had this mentality. I'll read you a couple verses. John 8, 29b. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, it says here, I, talking about Jesus, do always these things that please him. So in other words, Jesus said, I came down here to this earth not to do what I want to do, but I wanted to do what God wanted to do. And not only do I want to do what he wants me to do, I want to please him. Every thought I have, I want it to be pleasing to him. Every word that I speak, I want it to be pleasing to him. Everything that I participate in, I want it to be pleasing to him. Romans 15:3 says here, for even Christ pleased not himself. Pleased not himself. So, let's be honest. Most of the time, we're trying to please ourselves if we're living in the flesh. If not, we are trying to please someone else. A lot of people, they say that they dress the way that they dress, or they look the way that they look, or they talk the way that they talk because they just want to. No, they're trying to please somebody. They try to fit in. I remember when I was in school, there was sections of the school. I'm trying to think back then. You had the jocks, all right? And the only way you could please the jocks is if you were in sports and you dressed like sports players. And then you had was hippies back in the 80s? All right, I think that was 70s, but you did have some of the gothic type people. And again, they dress like that, try to please each other. And then you had the nerds. I guess you had to have a Band-Aid right here, your hair parted down the middle, a bow tie. I'm trying to think about how if you parted your hair this morning, then you got, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we had different groups, and they all dressed, talked, and behaved a certain way. Why? They were trying to please their group. Yesterday, there was a lot of football being played. There was a lot of people dressing up to, I guess, back their team, please those other people. So we see here, we're trying to please oneself or somebody else. God gets left out. So what we have to do is choose to please God. So we're going to look here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to see several different words. I just have several different underlined words all throughout this chapter. And if we live with this mindset, it is pleasing to God. So let's look at verse 1. Words that will help us please God. And the first one is in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, this is obviously Paul talking to Timothy. He tells him, be strong in the grace. So the word grace, if we have grace, or if we accept grace, or if we extend grace, that word grace, if we do all those things, it's going to be pleasing to God. He's like, I'm fixing to leave. I'm going to heaven. But I want you to be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the word grace here means to a virtue coming from God. This is something that God gives us. We have a little bit in us. Why? Because we were created in his image. We have a little bit of grace there. But it's a virtue coming from God. In other words, we allow mercy. We allow pardon. We allow forgiveness. And so, again, what Paul was telling Timothy here, look, if you're going to please God, you're going to have grace. Why? Because some young preachers, and I've seen them, they get one semester of Bible college under their belt, and they want to fix this world. I appreciate our college doing this. When I was in Bible college, they called all of us freshmen in right before Thanksgiving break, and they called us in and said, now look, you have one semester of Bible college under your belt. Please do not go home and try to fix your pastor. Do not go home and try to fix your Sunday school superintendent. Do not go home and try to fix your deacons. You got one whole semester under your belt. You don't know it all. They taught us that we're still novice. Again, go home and say this, Pastor, can I help clean the church? Can I help rake leaves? Can I help go out soul winning? Can I help teach a Sunday school class? Can I help with a junior church? He said, you go help. You go be a servant. Don't go in there all knowledgeable and I've taken this class and I've succeeded in this area and just let me help you. No, we ought to have grace. Don't go in there with a know-it-all attitude. Go in there with grace as a servant. So if we have grace, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Number one, because we're going to need it. We're going to need God to give grace. And the Bible says if we don't give forgiveness or grace, God will withhold forgiveness and grace to us. So if you're going to be strong in grace, you're going to need God to give you grace. And then because we're going to have to ask for it, Lord, give me grace again. And next, we see here, we're going to have to apply it. We're going to have to apply that grace. Be strong in it. Know about it. Ask for it. Accept it. And then we're going to have to apply it. I said accept it right there. This is a hard one for us. You know, some of us, we realize, I guess, the sinfulness of our being. And anything that happens to us, I deserve it. I deserve hell. I deserve God not to bless. I deserve God to turn his back on me. No, but we to be strong in the grace, we've got to accept it. God remembers our frame. He knows that we're but dust, the Bible says. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. So to be strong in grace is to be able to accept it as well. So he was telling him, Timothy, hey, I want you to please God. And if you're going to be able to please God, you're going to have to ask for grace, apply grace, and accept grace. Number two, look at verse 2. Not only be strong in grace, but let's look at that second word we're going to look at. This will please God. And these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. That's our second word. This pleases God. To commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach it others also. So what Paul is saying is, hey, Timothy, I've preached to you. I've taught you the Word of God. And what you've done now is you've grabbed it. Now what I want you to do is teach it to other people. So then in turn, the sequence will continue. That pleases God. I've seen pastors, and there's several in this area, that are up in their 80s. And that's awesome. They've been committing for a long time. But what would make that elderly pastor happy? And that's exactly what Paul was saying here, was if he had an assistant pastor or somebody that was way younger, that was just excited about Jesus as he was and just excited about getting the gospel out as he was, knowing that he's going to just fill my shoes. He's going to keep committing and this church will go on. Again, I hope God leaves me here for 20, 30 more years physically. All right, then it'll be probably about my time. But I hope there's somebody next that just jumps in line and this thing goes on and on until Jesus comes back. That's what he was saying here. That pleases God. Is when Paul gets old, fixing to go to heaven, here's Timothy. Not going to have a let off or a drop off. There's still going to be a fiery little preacher that preaches the Word of God. And then he said, now if there's going to be another Timothy for the Paul, you're going to have to do something. And so you got to keep committing. That pleases God. Knowing that the gospel is not going to stop. That Lighthouse Baptist Church for 25 years now has been doctrinally correct. Reaching the people of its community, things like that. And for 25 more years, and then 25 more years, and 25 more years, that will be pleasing to God. So commit. So what we're supposed to do is commit what your parents taught you. Commit what your preachers have taught you. Commit what your Sunday school teachers have taught you. You just keep committing it. Commit what other examples, godly examples that God's put in your life. That is pleasing to God. Number three, not only should you accept and be a part of grace, be strong in grace, you ought to commit what you've been taught. Number three, look at verse 3. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The third word is endure. I like grace because I need it a lot, and I like to give it. I love committing, but this one right here is hard. But the Bible says we have to endure hardness. You're going to have, if you say, look, I want to please God above all things, watch out. The devil's going to make sure you have to endure some stuff. He's going to come after you full bore. And you're going to have heartaches. You're going to have to endure that so that you can please God. Sickness and disease is going to come upon your body. You're going to have to endure that so you can please God. Attacks from this world and its philosophy. You're going to have to endure that so you can please God. attacks from Satan himself is going to come after you, but you're going to have to endure that so you can please God. So he said, hey, Timothy, be strong in the grace. Commit. Keep telling the truth. Endure. Number four, look at verse four. Verse four is the one we read earlier. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself. And so the fourth word to please God is do not get entangled. Do not get entangled. And this is exactly what the devil is going to do. If you are a people pleaser, you can't say no. The devil will take advantage of that and get you so entangled that you can't serve God. If you're at your job, you're going to get offered, if you're a hard worker, and Christians should be the hardest working people there, they should be the most honest people there, they should have a testimony that they're a Christian, and you'll get opportunities and opportunities and opportunities. But a lot of times, if we get so entangled with our careers, there might not be enough time left over to serve God. Money, obviously the Bible says the love of it is the root of all evil. And so we can get entangled with trying to make money. The Bible tells us not to be wise in our own endeavors in that area. Hobbies, again, we can get entangled. Therefore, we don't have enough time to please God. So nothing wrong with careers and money and hobbies. And we could go on down the list. But if we get entangled with them, to the point that we cannot please God. Number five, look at verse five. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So that word strive means we ought to strive. We ought to work hard, and we ought to do it. But we ought to do it the right way. There's a lot of churches out there today that they may have a bigger crowd than us. And again, this is a great crowd this morning. But they may have had a bigger crowd than us, and they may look like they've strove. They worked harder at it and things like that. But they didn't do it lawfully. In other words, they've changed this. Okay? And so that's easier to go to. So they're not doing lawfully. And then praise God for all the songs that Brother Derek led us in this morning. And the one my wife sang and the one that Miss Tiffany played. They were all hymns. They were all spiritual songs. But a lot of people are striving today, and it's more like a rock concert than it is a church service. All right? So, so the devil, they're trying to please him. Make people feel more comfortable at church than they come. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. If we were, we wouldn't have padding on those pews. All right? If we were, we'd turn the heat on and make us all gag and things like that. So we try to make you uncomfortable. So, but it says here, strive. You got to work at it. If you want to please God, you're going to have to put effort into it. You're going to have to strive, but make sure you do it lawfully. Do it like the Bible says. And so we see, whatsoever our hand finds to do, the Bible says to do it with thy might. You strive. You work hard. Then the Bible also says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And the Bible says, press toward the mark. Even run a race, because one receiveth the prize. All of those things tell us to strive. Work, but work lawfully. And in that, the Bible says, if you're going to be in the ministry, again, I'll paraphrase here, it tells us to be above reproach. Be above reproach. Always put guidelines and barriers. For instance, I know, let's say, for instance, in my position, pastors. There have been pastors that have embezzled and stole money from the church. That is definitely not pleasing to God. Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And so, again, I don't even know the combination to the safe where the money goes from the offering, and it gets put in a bag and it goes to the bank. And there's people that sit there, it's not just one person, there's many of them. So, we want to be above reproach. We want to strive. We want to take that money and pay our bills and support missionaries and build things in the future, but we want to do it lawfully. We're not going to, the people that count our offering back there don't go, one for the church, three for me. One for the pastor, four for me. One for the missionary, 16 for me. That's not how they count. They do it lawfully, above reproach. So you ought to strive. Then it says here that when you strive lawfully, you're above reproach, but then you're going to be tried by fire. The Bible talks about if we do something, we're trying our best to please God, but we do it in the flesh.
For instance, I've been in what we call maybe soul-winning competitions. Our church back in Florida, we had a soul-winning outreach. It was called a Week of Evangelism. Go soul-winning as much as you can. And whoever leads the most people to Christ will get this, da-da-da-da-da. And so, again, you're just trying to win, have the bragging rights, win that prize. And if that's the only reason you did that, the Bible says it's going to be tried by fire. All that's going to be burned up. That is your reward, is what the Bible calls it. So we've got to be careful when we strive, to strive lawfully. Be above reproach. Realize it's going to be tried by fire. One day at the judgment seat of Christ, you won't have to pay for your sins or give an account for your sins, because that's under the blood. But you will give an account of how you tried to please God. The judgment seat of Christ. Don't try to make a name for yourself. Don't try to manipulate the situation. You strive lawfully. Verse 6, let's look at a couple other words. Verse 6 says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. And so again, we're supposed to be a husbandman if we want to please God. And a husband basically is a caretaker of the vines, or a caretaker of the vineyard. And so we're supposed to be a caretaker of the things that God has given us. We take care of it. And it says here that they have to first be a partaker of the fruit. In other words, if I'm going to try to please God and give out the truth, commit the truth, live lawfully, things like that, first I need to be right with God. I need some of the Scripture. I need some of the power of prayer. I need some of the leadership of the Holy Spirit before I go to try to do all that. So don't try to be the husbandman and take care of what God's given you in your own strength. First, be a partaker. So be the right kind of husband. And it says here, laboreth and take care of the fruit. Do not give it all out before you take some more in. Then verse 7 is our seventh word, the word consider. How am I going to please God? I'm going to do all these things. And the next thing I got to consider, consider what the Bible says. Consider what I say. This is what Paul's telling Timothy. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding all things. So, when we hear our Sunday school teacher, we're supposed to consider. Listen. I know Sunday school's like way early. 10 o'clock and so forth. And so we're probably still sleepy. And we might sleep through Sunday school. Or we might be daydreamers, and we might be somewhere else in our mind instead of being... No, Paul's like, look, Timothy, you got to consider. This is what pleasing God is. If you're going to be in Sunday school, consider what they're saying. If you're going to be in church service, consider what they're saying. Don't sleep through those things. Don't daydream. It says here, don't say that, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's what the devil wants you to do. When your Sunday school teacher stands up there and says, well, this is what the Bible says, da, 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 that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not very pleasing to God. He wants us to resist it. But the Holy Spirit wants to teach it to us. So consider what they're saying. Don't say, I don't understand it, so I'm not even going to try. Sometimes you hear something in a Sunday school class or in a sermon, and the Bible says this, and you're like, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it, so I'm not even going to try. I can't please God. I'm always trying to please others or please myself, so I'm not even going to try. Don't do that. Consider. At least think about it. God will give you understanding and help you. Now, I'm going to group some together real quick so we don't have the whole time here. But 8 through 14, here's the eighth word, is to remember. And again, that's hard for some of us. We forget, our phone number because we don't ever call ourselves. It's double tough for me because I had one for 34 years that I had memorized that had a 904 area code. Now I'm a 502. And so I can't remember where I was yesterday or the day before. I had to write my phone number down. I'm like, and so I went down there and I had to click on myself because I couldn't remember it. But sometimes if you say it over and over and over, it helps you. But Timothy was told by Paul, hey, remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David and was raised from the dead according to the gospel. Some things that will help you please him. Remember who God is. If I remember that Jesus died on the cross for me, I'm going to try to please him. If I remember I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to try to please him. If I remember that he will bless me down here for how I live, I'm going to try to please him. So that's what he's saying. Jesus rose from the grave. We've got the victory. I've read the back of the book and we win. We're on the winning side. We're going to go to heaven one day. Remember that kind of stuff. That'll help you please God. And so
He says in verse 15, wherefore I suffer, I skipped. Not 15, 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, by the word of God, is not bound. Therefore I endure all these things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance. Always remember, Timothy, charging them before the Lord, that ye strive not about words to no profit, but for the subverting of the hearers. So you remember what you're supposed to do. This will help you please God. And then 16 through 19, we see here, 15 first is study. Again, I know it's a bad word. I didn't like that word in school. And my teacher always told me, study your vocab words, study your spelling words, study your English rules, study. but we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. This will make God happy with us. And then the next word is found in verse 16, and that word is, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. So stay away from arguments. Stay away from things that don't matter. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night. We talked about, you know, people wanting to argue about if Adam and Eve had a belly button or not. Stay away from that kind of stuff. It's just vain. It says blah, 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 blah. That's not pleasing to God. There are people today probably having discussions and arguments about things that really don't matter. That's not pleasing to God. It pleases God for us to glorify Him and to say, oh, what a Savior that we have, and to think about all the things that He done. But shun that profane stuff. Get away from that. It just leads to more ungodliness. So how can we please God? We have to shun. Verse 21, we'll go through these quickly. Verse 21 tells us that we ought to purge. We heard about that in Sunday school this morning. There are some things that we have to get rid of, to be pruned and purge ourselves. And then it says sanctify in verse 21 as well. And then it says to prepare. What are we doing? We're trying our best to please God, so I'm going to prune. In other words, I don't see any verse that says thou shalt not. But it's limiting my time for God. It's limiting my ability to please God. So I think I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm going to prune that out of my life. And then I'm going to sanctify. In other words, set apart for God's use. I am prepared for Him. And then in that verse also says the word meet. Meet. That word meet there means worthy for the Master's use. So I'm pruned. I'm sanctified. I'm prepared for God to use me. That's pleasing to God. Verse 22. Three words we'll see in that verse. Says here, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Again, those of us that have been youthful and we're not very youthful anymore. That verse basically still means that we still have those same lusts that we had when we were a youth and we were coming into the knowledge of life and all those things. That doesn't go away when you turn 30. That don't go away when you turn 40. That doesn't go away when you turn 50, 60. We can keep on going. Those same youthful lusts are there, but we're supposed to flee them. Get rid of them. Get away from them. Don't set no wicked thing before our eyes. Why? So we can follow in verse 22. And then it says here we can call upon the Lord. Lord, I've left that. I'm fleeing that displeases you. I want to follow you and I'm asking you for your help. Verse 23 tells us to avoid. To avoid. We're looking at words that help us please God. Verse 23 tells us here, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Kind of like the one we just read a few minutes ago. Knowing that they do gender strifes. It's just going to cause arguments. Just get away from them. Avoid them. That's very pleasing to God. Verse 24 tells us here to be gentle and unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That word gentle and patient, we ought to apply that in our daily life. That pleases God. Here's a good way to, you know, we have to use those two words in our child rearing. Gentle and patience. If we add that to our child rearing, it'll be pleasing to God to be gentle and patient. Not overlooking. You teach, you be stern.
You strive, but strive lawfully, but be gentle and patient. Be gentle and patient in life. That will be pleasing to God. Verse 25, in meekness. The word meekness here does not mean weakness. Okay, Jesus was, he was meek, but he was not weak. My dad told me this, son, you just look eyeball to eyeball with anybody because you're no better than anybody and you're no worse than anybody. He made statements like this. You put your pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else does. Don't you think yourself better than anybody else, but don't think yourself worse than anybody else. That's what meekness means. We're all sinners. We all deserve to die and go to hell. But if we're saved, we're all going to heaven. That is meekness, not weakness. And it says you're kind and fruitful. So if we are to live the right way, that He may use us to recover those that have been snared by the devil. Let's look at what it says here in verse 26. And that they may recover, all these they people, that remember, they commit, they study, they shun, they flee, they prepare, they prune, they sanctify, they follow, they avoid, they're gentle, they're patient, they're meekness, they're meek. These people, they, what will happen? It says here, may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captivity by him at his will. So this is what will help us please God, and it will help us stay out of that snare of the devil. So in conclusion here, we see if we'll add all these words to our life, in conclusion, those that work to do for God must strengthen themselves for it. And that's what he was saying. Timothy, I want you to give out all these things. But remember, you have to go and get some more. And I heard a preacher, an older preacher, say this before. You know, you preach what we call the bread of life. And so a preacher can preach. And I've heard him say, you know, study yourself full, pray yourself hot, and preach yourself empty. That's a good, I guess, a challenge for a preacher. You know, you pray yourself full. Don't think you can do it on your own. God, I need you. God, I need you. And then study yourself full. Know what you're talking about. And then preach yourself empty. And then I heard another one say, you know, you ought to know your stuff, know who you're stuffing, and stuff them. All right? And so that's exactly what Paul was telling preacher. You know, you got to know your stuff. You got to know the Bible. Don't go up there and just try to wing it. You need to know God's Word. And then know who you're talking to. They're sinners, but they're saved sinners. They want to please God. Know them. And then stuff them. And so that's basically what he was saying here to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to work hard at doing all these words. They're very pleasing to God, and it will help you deliver yourself out of the snare, and it might actually help you to recover them that have been snared by the devil. So study the Bible, pray, and serve God. Then number two, as far as introductions, those that have to work to do for God must endure hardness. Because if you say, all right, I want to please God, there's a ton of words there that Paul brought to Timothy's mind. I want to do that for God. As soon as you say that, the devil's coming. If you said, all right, I'm going to go to church, the devil's going to cause the power to go out, your alarm clock did not go off. The devil's going to cause you know, 62 neighbors that, or relatives that you've not seen in, you know, years and years and years. Hey, we're swinging by Sunday morning. I mean, he's going to do everything he can do. You're going to have to endure hardness. My dad's philosophy on that was, you know, because the devil will do that. Hey, we're going to stop by and see y'all. That's great. Y'all can go to church with us. we'll swing by after church, all right, and so forth. But anyway, if you're going to work and try to please God, you're going to have to endure hardness. And number three, those that have a work to do for God must avoid anything that would keep them from doing it. And the devil's going to do that. I know baseball is in right now as far as the playoffs, and my favorite team lost last night. And but that's what, I mean, I guess the devil is kind of like a pitcher. He wants to strike you out. So he's going to throw you things that you don't expect. He's going to try to throw you things that if you are expecting, he's going to try to change it. He's going to do everything he can do to try to get you to strike out in life. And so what we've got to do is to learn how to Like that's what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. You know, you're going to have to just endure the hardness. The devil is going to do his best to get you to flub up, mess up, make mistakes, and you're going to have to endure that. Why? Because we want to please God. So I hope you have a desire not to be a self-pleaser, not to be a people-pleaser, but to be a God-pleaser. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to learn to do those three things. Keep putting inside of your life what pleases God. Keep helping those people out that's out there that'll help please God, and to endure anything the devil throws at you. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation, and we'll be dismissed after that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And God, Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to desire to please you. And in doing that, we're going to have to desire to please you more than we want to please ourselves, more than we want to please our friends or society. Lord, I just ask you to help us to desire that. But then once we do desire that, the devil's coming after us. And we got to flee, and we got to shun, and we got to avoid. We got to do everything in our power, like Paul was telling Timothy here, so that we can live in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. There's somebody here today that does not know 100%.